Hey, how's it going? Stephen Holder here of The Athletic, back with another episode of Horseshoes with Holder. Wanted to kind of get this in here before game day, getting a little close to the weekend, and you know how I am, I always get backed up. But anyhow, not to be denied, I'm here, back for another episode, and there's lots to talk about. Colts now 6-5, heading into another road game. We haven't had this team on the road here for quite some time, three straight at home before this, but going down to Jacksonville this weekend, the 3-8 Jacksonville Jaguars on tap. Colts at 6-5, very much in the playoff race, number 7 in the AFC right now in the 6-team playoff race. So they're right on the cusp, folks, and this season has gotten a lot more interesting in recent weeks. We certainly didn't think we'd be here, but the Colts are right in it, and they won again, coming off last week's victory over the Miami Dolphins, a 10-point rally in the fourth quarter, and Andrew Luck working his magic at the end to put the Colts in position to win. So they are on the plus side for a change. It's been a long time. They are above 500. So that has not been something we've been able to say since the 2016 season, I believe. Maybe 2015. So this has been a long time in the making. And we'll see if they can keep it going and add to that total. So lots going on. I mentioned Andrew Luck there about his heroics late in the Dolphins game. Well, he was recognized for that and other efforts today. I'm taping this on Thursday. AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Well, I mean, that certainly was well-earned. I think you would agree. So he has certainly been on an unprecedented tear lately. So we'll get into that a little bit. Very unfortunate and scary situation this week with Jack Doyle. So I'll touch on that a little bit. He's out for the season. That was a pretty serious injury he sustained on Sunday. Marlon Mack's got a concussion. Will he play? We'll talk about that. And Evan Bain, the stand-in for Ryan Kelly at center. This is going to be a big test for him going on the road this week. Can he hold up? So touch on that a little bit. And then some defense I want to hit on. Malik Hooker and Quincy Wilson, two DBs I talked about on last week's podcast. Well, I circled back and I talked about those guys this week, and I'm going to share with you the substance of those conversations. And then we'll talk about the Jaguars a little bit. They have a lot going on, as you may know. So back to the top here, Andrew Luck. What a tear, what a stretch he's been on. This guy, okay, so what are we at now? 8 straight games, I believe, with 3-plus touchdown passes, 3 or more touchdown passes. That is just really just amazing stuff, and not garden variety football, okay? This guy, this is the best football he's ever played. I don't think we should really quibble about that anymore. This is the best Andrew Luck has ever played. Why do we have to qualify it? You know, perhaps, maybe. No, this is the best he's ever played. All right? I don't think there's anything really to argue. There's nothing to hedge. I mean, this is elite, elite level football. There are only a handful of guys playing at this level in the league at his position right now, and Andrew Luck's one of them. So one thing I want to share with you is some of what Marcus Brady, their quarterback's coach, talked about this week. I think it's always good to get the position coach's opinion on things and get their outlook, because they really do have a front row seat. They spend the most time with those players, and you're really going to get the most detailed information from those guys. So, you know, one of the things I asked Marcus Brady was about Andrew Luck's ability this year to work the pocket and step up in the pocket and do that confidently. And his eyes lit up when I talked about that, because it's clearly a big factor for Andrew Luck. You might recall, and I think in the last couple of years in particular, one of the problems Andrew Luck has had, because the guard play has been subpar, has been an inability to step up in the pocket. Now, it's one thing if you get pressure from the edge, but what no quarterback wants is to be able, or excuse me, to have to contend with pressure through those A-gaps, the pressure right in your face, because it affects everything. It affects your ability to step into the throw. It affects your ability to follow through on that throw. It affects so much of your mechanics. You know, it's one thing if you have to sidestep and maybe throw on the run because there's pressure from the edge. That's something quarterbacks can contend with. they can do that. They can, these guys at this level can throw on the run and do it pretty effectively. But not being able to step into a throw and have to throw it off your back foot, you know, bad things happen. Okay, that's when you throw interceptions. That's when you have misfires. And so I think the fact that he's got Quentin Nelson up there and now Mark Lewinsky really doing an exceptional job at right guard. And for most of the season so far, up until last week, Ryan Kelly really holding the fourth down at center. That has just made an absolute world of difference for Andrew Luck. And I think this is where you start to see the offensive line really paying off. It's not that Andrew Luck's not getting sacked. It's so much more than that. And this is one of those things. I always talk about the numbers not being the telltale necessarily on various matters. I always say that about sacks on defense. Well, it's true on offense too. He's not getting sacked, and that is a wonderful thing. But one thing that I think sometimes we don't talk about is the fact that he's not really being pressured either. They're not getting to him at all. It's not just about not being sacked. He's able to comfortably work the pocket. So what happens now? He's got confidence that he can do that. So he's working through his progressions. Watch Andrew Luck. You see his head turn. You go one, two, three. He's going through those progressions and he's keeping his eyes downfield. He's focused. He's worrying about the coverages and worrying about the breaks his receivers are making and throwing with anticipation rather than having to worry about, am I going to comfortably be able to step into this throw? He's not having to be preoccupied with that. So what you have then is a much different quarterback this year in Andrew Luck, and it's one of the reasons I think his interceptions are down. I mean, 11 interceptions right now so far this year, and frankly, a couple of those last week, I mean, just didn't have to happen. Those were a little bit of the punt variety, if you will. So, you know, look, you don't want them to happen, but certainly you can live with them. So, look, he threw 13 interceptions a couple of years ago, but I'm just looking at his numbers here. It feels right now as if they're throwing the ball at a much higher rate. He had 545 attempts in 2016. He's already, with five games to go, he's already at 437. So looks like he's going to probably surpass that number. So the interception totals are pretty good given the number of attempts. So, and then throw in 32 touchdowns, by the way, which already surpasses 2016, his last full season. The career high for Andrew, I believe, was 40 in 2014. So he's got his sights set on that right now. If he keeps up at the rate he's going, he's going to crush that number. So this is just really, as I said before, just been an unprecedented season for Andrew Luck. And I don't see any reason it won't continue. And the one thing, in addition to being able to work the pocket and step up in the pocket, the other thing that Marcus Brady, the quarterback's coach, talked about was his technique. And one of the things that Andrew Luck worked a lot on over the past year was his mechanics. And you can see that really starting to pay dividends. And one of the things Marcus was asked was, how do you see, or do you see, a difference in his mechanics now versus the tape you watch of Andrew Luck from previous years? And he said his throwing motion is more compact. Now, what does that mean? And does it matter? Well, what it means is he's actually getting rid of the ball a little quicker because there's less wasted motion. And everything is working sort of in sync between, you know, the throwing motion, the base of his throws, meaning his legs. And so that, I think, bodes well. That means you're going to get rid of the ball faster. You're going to have a crisper delivery, I think, when you've got a more compact throwing motion. And does it matter? I think it does matter because I think it helps timing. I think it's going to enable him to get the ball out quicker, as I said, and that can only make a difference in a positive way in terms of timing. And this offense has got a lot to do with timing. I mean, a lot of Andrew Luck's throws are throws that he's making with anticipation. There's a lot of timing elements in this Frank Reich offense. So that's a very important element. It's something that I don't necessarily see with the naked eye, but I think those who are smarter than I and you they can see those things, and Marcus Brady sees it. So it's all positive with Andrew Luck right now, and just really just so fun to watch right now. And I think he's gotten, he's put himself in a conversation this year at a more elite level nationally, I think. Think about this. Look, he probably won't win MVP, and I'm not even arguing that he should, because, I mean, Drew Brees has had a great year. Certainly, Pat Mahomes is doing his thing and is in the race. Who knows? Phillip Rivers, maybe? I don't know. But there's some stiff competition this year, so I get that. But I do think the rest of the country is starting to see what those who follow the Colts have been seeing this year, which is, it's not just that Andrew Luck's playing. It's that he's playing at a level that is just almost unprecedented for him. And so that it's taken some time, because the Colts' record didn't reflect that. But now that it does, people are catching on. They're a little slow, but that's on them. But they're catching on now, and I think you're going to see Andrew Luck make a lot of headlines here down the stretch. If the Colts continue to win, it's just going to become just a huge, huge story. So moving on, I talked about Jack Doyle a little bit at the top. So I heard on Monday afternoon, unfortunately before the Colts announced it, that he had a lacerated kidney, is what I was told. And the Colts didn't go into depth in terms of the nature of the injury, except to say it was a kidney injury. So he underwent some kind of medical procedure. I assume that, to me, indicates surgery, because that's what you do when you hurt an internal organ, generally. And he had to go to the hospital on Sunday night and be treated for that. So pretty serious situation there. That's pretty scary. And I have a couple of takeaways here. Number one, we'll talk about the fallout here in a second. But the first thing I want to say is, let this be a reminder to you of what a brutal sport this is. It is an absolute brutal sport. The guy has a lacerated kidney, okay? An essential organ. Okay, so we're not talking about, you know, grade two sprained MCL here. We're talking about, you know, an organ that you need to sustain life. So this is pretty serious stuff. And Jack Doyle's a tough guy. And Jack Doyle tapped out right after that hit that he took. You could see him on tape sort of calling to the sideline like, hey, I'm done. So you don't see Jack Doyle do that, like, ever. Okay, so that's how you know the guy was hurt. The other takeaway here is this is a consequential injury. I mean, you knew that. I mean, Jack Doyle's a good player. But on the other hand, I think a lot of people say, well, tight end's great. They're fine. They got a lot of talent there. Yeah, but Jack Doyle's different. And if you notice, a lot of their struggles running the ball earlier this season, they came while Jack Doyle was out of the lineup with that hip injury. Now, I'm not suggesting that 2 plus 2 is 4. He's not the only reason for that. His absence wasn't the only reason for that. I mean, certainly Marlon Mack was out too for some of that period. But what I would say is Jack Doyle gives Frank Reich so many great options in the running game because of what he can do. He can serve as the fullback and play that role. He can give them a kick-out block on the edge, which he often does. And you'll see that sometimes when Quentin Nelson pulls. And those are really tough assignments that their other tight ends may or may not be able to handle, okay? Not to mention the fact that there are some injuries going on there too. So this is a huge issue. And I'm not saying they can't overcome it. I think they can. And the good news is they do have some depth at that position. So that is great news. But they do not have anybody with the level of versatility of Jack Doyle. And that includes Eric Ebron. Not talking about just as a receiver. I'm talking about the entire menu of things that they asked Jack Doyle to do. He's the only tight end they have that can do them. So that's not a small issue. And that's going to have consequences. So we'll have to see how this plays out. But I can't tell you it's not a big deal, because it is. Now, on a more positive note, Marlon Mack on Thursday did get out there and practice a little bit. Now, he's got a concussion, but it's not unprecedented for a guy to play a week after having a concussion. We saw this last year with Vontae Davis. He had a concussion one Sunday, and the symptoms cleared up pretty quickly, and he was able to have his non-contact practice. For Marlon Mack, that would have been today. So that's the first order of business. Clear the symptoms, get a non-contact practice, and then you got to have a full practice. So that would be Friday for Marlon Mack if he stays on track. A lot has to happen. He can't have a recurrence of symptoms now, okay? So keep that in mind. And then the final step, if you're able to have the full practice, then the final step would be to get evaluated by the independent neurologist, and he must also then clear you. Now, that generally happens, and the clearance generally comes at that point. But I believe it was Ryan Kelly last year who got to that step, got to the independent neurologist, and did not get cleared. And that there wound up being a lot of fallout there, and he ended up having a recurrence of symptoms, and they never went away, so they put him on IR. You might remember that from last season. But my point is, none of this stuff is guaranteed, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you to bet the house on Marlon Mack this week. We got to let this play out a little more. But that is certainly a positive step in the right direction, and I think it, I don't want to say it's likely, but it's now very plausible that Marlon Mack will play on Sunday. And that was not something I anticipated. I mean, once we knew he was in the concussion protocol, I generally just kind of write a guy off for the following week because they generally don't play. It's just a really hard deal. Anthony Walker pulled it off earlier this year, but that was coming out of the Patriots game, which was on a Thursday. So the Colts had 10 days between games before going to New York. Totally different deal. So this is different. We're talking about a one-week turnaround. Can Marlon Mack do it? We'll see. Stay tuned on Friday. But I think he's got a pretty good shot. Probably won't know for sure till Saturday, to be honest. So we'll see how that goes. Moving on, finishing up the offensive side of the ball, Evan Bame and that offensive line last week, you know, filling in for Ryan Kelly, I thought he did a decent enough job. And the pressure, there was more pressure than there has been, but, you know, how much of it was his fault? I wouldn't say it was on him. And I think the Colts did just fine. I mean, look, if you thought Andrew Luck was never going to get sacked again, I'm here to tell you, I could have told you were wrong quite a few weeks ago, okay? Now, it was nice seeing him go five games without getting sacked, but, I mean, come on. Come on. Look, just enjoy the fact that he's only been sacked 11 times this year. That is the least in the NFL. But as it relates to Evan Bame, this is a big test for him. He's going on the road. He's a center. He's got to deal with crowd noise. He's got to deal with communication. He's got to, you know, deal with the quarterback and calling out protections and pointing out blitzes to the quarterback and helping him identify those blitzes. So there's a lot going on for a young guy who hasn't played a ton of football, and now the challenge gets upgraded because he's going on the road. So big test for Evan Bame this week at center, but Colts feel pretty good about him, and they feel he can pull it off. So we'll see. We'll know a little more about this guy coming out of this game against a tougher defensive front now against Jacksonville. Now, I know the record's 3-8. I know they got all kinds of problems, but their personnel is their personnel, and the Colts have a history of having problems with these guys. Now, they didn't do that last, they didn't have that last outing against them, but we've seen enough, we've seen Jacksonville have enough success up front against the Colts to know not to take this lightly. So, big test for the guy, for the young guy up front, but we'll see if he can hold up. And the hope is, we'll see, but, you know, they hope Ryan Kelly can turn it around and be ready for Houston. That's a whole other challenge unto itself, obviously going on the road against that defensive front. So, but one game at a time, we'll see what Evan Bame does on Sunday. I'll pause here for a break and get a word from our sponsor.
All right, Colts fans, we have a great deal for you. Let me tell you guys about TickPick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do, and if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are absolutely no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, find the seats you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. You save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for our listeners, they're offering you an amazing offer of $15 off any single order over $99 through the end of the season. All you have to do is enter SB Colts as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer either. They went all in for you guys. Not only do I use TickPick, but I approached them and wanted to get the word out on this company because it was so stinking easy and nobody likes to find the seats they want, then get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another ticket app again. It's very user-friendly and you get the same great tickets with lightning quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick and use the gift code SBColts to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this offer today, 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees.
All right, welcome back. So if you were with me last week, you might remember I talked a little bit about a couple DBs. I talked about Malik Hooker and I talked about Quincy Wilson and how I felt like the defensive scheme change sort of had an adverse effect on the both of them. I still feel that way, but I wanted to fill you in on a couple things. So I had a conversation with both those guys this week. I may still write a story on Malik Hooker. We'll see. I have an interview with him that I haven't used yet, but I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. So a little preview here, and you didn't pay for this in The Athletic, so you're getting away with one, but that's okay. So here's what Malik told me. I was pretty blunt. I was like, look, you know, a couple things going on. I said, Malik, people keep asking me about you, man. I said, let's be honest. I mean, you've been on the injury report like every week, dude. Like, can we just be honest here? Like, you're not healthy, right? And I mean, isn't that a factor? And he's like, hey, man, you know, I'm a football player. We're all hurt. I'm like, I know, but you're like really hurt because you don't look like you. And he said, yeah, you know, I'm dealing with stuff. So, yeah, I think that's the closest you're going to get a player to admitting that, yeah, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling right physically. And I think that is sort of evidenced by Malik Hooker's performance. I mean, he doesn't look like the same guy. And I really do think his health has a lot to do with it. I am not making excuses for the guy because he sure as hell ain't making excuses. But I think we can acknowledge these things without them sort of becoming excuse-making. So that's one thing. And then I asked him, you know, look, this scheme change, I mean, it's a little different, man. And I said, you know, you were just kind of a center fielder last year. So, you know, he kind of allowed that there's some truth to that. But he made a good point. He said, you know, hey, look, we're not allowing deep balls. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And he said, at the end of the day, sometimes the ball just doesn't come your way. And if you think about it, I mean, have there been a ton of deep balls that were hanging in the air that he didn't make a play on? There have been a handful, but I wouldn't say there's been a ton. And I think last year, the way he sort of stormed on the scene with those early interceptions, I told him, I said, you set the bar pretty high, man. And I think people thought that was going to continue. But I think people tested the Colts more last year. They had more deep balls thrown on them, frankly. And that felt like a regular thing under Chuck Pagano, to be completely honest. This year, this Colts team has done a pretty good job of defending the deep ball, and they are not giving up that deep ball very often. So, look, Malik Hooker has to share in that success. We can't criticize him on the one hand, but then not give him credit for having some role in the fact that the Colts are doing a good job of defending the deep ball. So he gets credit for that because he's played a role in it. He also said, you know, you can have impact without just having interceptions. There are other ways to impact the game. So maybe he's a deterrent at times, right? Maybe that throw doesn't get made because he's back there. So it was good perspective, and I think it was important that we consider the full picture on these matters. Look, why doesn't he have any interceptions? Why isn't he been taking the ball away more? Look, I mean, those are all fair questions. I mean, he was supposed to be a ball-hawking safety. I get all that. That's fine. Those questions are totally, totally fair. But when we answer those questions, I think we have to have more nuanced answers, and we can't just sort of chalk it up to, well, maybe he's not who we thought he was, or this is a bad scheme for him. Well, it's really not that simple. So that was the context there. Now, as it relates to Quincy Wilson, good conversation there. And I said to Quincy, I said, you know, Quincy, you, the more I watch the film, it's like, you know, I said, you flashed a lot last year. And I said, I think it was because you were playing man-to-man. I said, you're a man-to-man corner playing zone, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, yeah. He says, I pretty much never played zone in my life. And so if you think about it, I don't know what he played in high school, but certainly in college at the University of Florida, they were a press man team. That's all he did. And he allowed that there is a totally different mentality playing man coverage versus zone. He says, when you play man coverage, you're basically locked in on that guy. It's like, I know that guy. I study him all week, and I know what I got to do. And you're out there on an island. Nobody screws with you. You know what you got to do. Now, this is totally different. Now, you're working in tandem with other guys. You're passing guys off. You're having to decide, you know, what if B, then C, then D. You know, there's all these scenarios when you play zone defense, right? People think it's easy, and it is easy. This is an easy scheme, but there is thinking involved when you're talking about the zone and the different combinations and different elements, you know, in terms of having to react to what the offense does. When you're playing man coverage, and nobody plays man coverage 100% of the time, but when you're a predominantly man-to-man football team on defense, then it's, look, you know what it is. You're playing man coverage. You're out there on an island with a guy all day long. You go where he goes, right? So that is totally different. Totally different. But here's what I'd say about Quincy. He is starting to figure it out, and he had an absolute wonderful attitude when I talked to him about this. He was in such a good mood. He's like, you know what? It's coming. I'm starting to figure this out. And you notice he's starting to play more. He's making plays. And I'm telling you, I left that conversation feeling pretty optimistic about Quincy Wilson. Now, we'll see. I mean, it's all talk, but there's some action behind those words right now, too. I mean, he's done some of this on the field. We've seen some things from him. So I feel like there's reason to be a little bit bullish on Quincy Wilson right now. Maybe this is the start of something. We'll see. The jury's still out, but I still feel like the guy's talented. I saw it last year. I saw it. I didn't see it enough, and it was not consistent. Not at all, okay? It was all over the place. But flashes, they mean something, because guys who don't have talent don't flash. And Quincy Wilson flashed. So keep an eye on him. I'm interested to see how this goes, and I want him to succeed. It would certainly be big for the Colts if they could salvage that draft pick and make something out of this kid, because right now that's an area that they really have to look at in the offseason. If they can figure out before the end of the season that they truly do have something there, well, that's going to lessen the burden a lot. So we'll see how that goes. In closing, let's talk a little bit about the Jags. Man, I just, where is this team going? Man, so let's talk about this. They've got a new offensive coordinator, fired Nate Hackett earlier this week. They got a new quarterback, benching their quarterback for Cody Kessler. So Blake Bortles, we hardly knew ye. One play from the AFC Championship to benched for Cody Kessler. Oh, man. That will not do a lot for your ego. And then Leonard Fournette, he's out. Okay, after the big brawl last week in Buffalo, he's got a one-game suspension, so he's not playing this week. So this is a totally different offense than we saw the last time the Jags were here. Now, interestingly enough, they made some plays that day. So if they feel like these are positive changes for them, then I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe they make this a game. All I can tell you is I think when teams make changes like this and when they sort of circle the wagons and heads roll a little bit, sometimes teams respond. So don't sit here and act like the Colts are going to roll in to Jacksonville and just kind of have their way, and this is going to be sort of a gimme game. First of all, there should be no gimme games when you're fighting for a playoff spot. The Colts don't have any wiggle room. They have to get this game. They They have, look, they're going to lose again at some point, I think. But they can't afford it to be this game. They got to win this game and then see what happens next week in Houston. Take your chances down there. But I would say watch out for the Jags. This could go one of two ways. They could throw their hands up and say, screw it, I'm done. Or they could have some pride and sort of buck up and put something on the field this weekend that surprises people. So I really believe it could go either way. And when you have a team in these situations, they've been embarrassed. They know they're a disappointment. You know, look, this is where pride tends to kick in. Do they have pride left? Do they have any pride at all? I think we're going to find out. So my advice would be the Colts better go down there and not take any chances. Keep their foot on the gas pedal and do what they have to do. Get this win against Jacksonville. So that's where we're at. It's getting interesting, folks. I am having a lot of fun with this team this year. I'll just share this with you in closing. I haven't had a lot of fun covering this team the last couple of years. It's been stressful, right? So 2015 was just crazy. Andrew Luck was all beat up, and you know, we thought everyone was getting fired. Of course, they got extensions, so whatever. That was crazy. 2016 was, it was interesting, but they were never really going anywhere. Started off terribly, and that season really didn't amount to much. And then last year, I mean, wow, 4-12, and just never really felt like any of those games had any real meaning to them, right? We were just going through the motions. I was going through the motions. The players were going through the motions. It was not a good situation for anybody. And so here we are now in 2018, and there's such a vibe in that locker room. And I tell you, you walk in there, and there's a pulse in that locker room. Those guys, they are having fun. They like each other. They're great teammates to each other. There is great camaraderie in that locker room. It is so evident. And there's just so much harmony in there. There's harmony. There's confidence. There is, I think, just collaboration. I mean, there's just, it's a good place right now. They're in a very, very good place. So we'll see if they can keep this going. I think they can. And I think they have something special growing in that locker room right now. So all I can tell you is I'm having a lot more fun. They're having a ball. And I just think it's this team is going to go places in the long term. So that's what I got. This little bit preview here. And we'll see how this goes down the stretch. But Colts are relevant once again. And I'll take it. Because there's nothing worse for a reporter than covering a team that isn't relevant, because who wants to do that, right? So anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Stephen Holder of The Athletic. Keep an eye out on social media. Lots of discounts for The Athletic if you want to subscribe. There's a 40% discount going around. I think you can find that on my most recent stories. Check my Twitter feed at Holder Stephen, HolderStephen. If you click any of the links, if you're not a subscriber, it'll take you to some of those discounted links. So check that out. We got great stuff. This is QB week. I did a big piece on code words that are used at the line of scrimmage. And I know we all know Omaha, but let me tell you, you really don't know anything about this stuff. And I learned that through reporting this story. I learned so much. Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett was great. Jacoby's so smart, and he's so helpful in reporting some of these stories. But, you know, just the back and forth between the offense and defense is so fun. There's so much going on behind the scenes that you have literally no clue about. Well, those are the kinds of stories I like to write about. So this is one of them. Check that out. It's on my Twitter. It's my latest story on The Athletic. So anyhow, thanks for listening again. We'll check in next week after Jacksonville. We'll see what happens. Colts could be going for a big one down there in Houston if they get this win on Sunday. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Happy holidays. I'm Stephen Holder, and this is Horseshoes with Holder.
Hi, Hi, I'm Kara Swisher. I want to tell you about another podcast you should check out. It's called Recode Decode. Every week, I talk to tech and media's key players about how they're changing our world. I interview tech executives like Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, political figures like Hillary Clinton, and media personalities like John Carreyrou, who literally wrote the book on Theranos. Once again, the name of the show is Recode Decode, hosted by me, Kara Swisher. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show. See you there.